If you have your Bible with you, you can open up to Ezekiel chapter 2. Yes, sir. Ezekiel chapter 2. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, he said, we'll go back to verse 19, he said, we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you'll do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place till the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, no prophecy of the Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Paul said to the church in Galatia, chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, he said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel that was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, nor was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. He said in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he said, for this cause also cease we not to give thanks, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you received it not as a word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which works effectively also in you who believe. Amen. So the words that are in this book are not man's book. They were written down by men. They're written down by approximately 40 men over a period of 1,600 years on three different continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe. And most of these men lived in completely different times, and almost every single one of them never talked to each other. And not one word in this book contradicts another, which is infallible proof that God is the author of the book. Men are simply the pen men, and God is the one that give them the words to write down with their pen. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 2. Verse 3, Father, we thank you for your word. We praise you and exalt you, Holy Spirit, for opening up the word to us. This is God speaking to the prophet now. Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Everyone say stubborn.
Stubborn.
Now, we know, according to 1 Samuel 15:23, he said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. So it's a terrible sin to be stubborn. And he's going to reveal to us what their stubbornness was all about. He says, say to them, he's telling the prophet, the Holy Spirit's telling the prophet now, say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, and whether they listen or fail. So in other words, tell the people this is a message coming from the Holy Spirit. That's what he's telling them. Just tell them this is what God is saying. God's trying to talk to you now. And he says, whether they listen or fail to listen to what you tell them by the Holy Spirit, he reminds them again. He says, for they are a rebellious house. They will know that a prophet has been among them. Now, they may not acknowledge it then, but on the day of judgment, they will acknowledge that some man of God has been standing in front of them. He says, and you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you and you live among scorpions. That's a God's call on the people. Now, he's talking about Israel. This is in the Old Testament. But we're living in a day and age where the Gentile nations, that's us Gentile believers as a whole, who initially were wholeheartedly serving God in the beginning, you can see that through the book of Acts, have become imitators of Israel. It says in Romans 15:4, everything written in the past is written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of scriptures we might have hope. So I'm likening this unto the current church today. And if you have any contention about this or questions about if the church is imitating Israel, all you got to read is 1 and 2 Timothy. And you'll see that Paul warns him in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3, and 4 that when he says it'll be terrible times in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. He's not talking about the world. That letter was not written to the world. It was written to a pastor over a church. He's telling you in the last days the church is going to be selfish. He didn't say some of them. He's talking about the majority. And if you have any other contention about that, just read through the seven letters written to the churches of the province of Asia, which is also a type and shadow of the churches in the earth today, in Revelation 2 and 3, and you'll see that almost every, in fact, five of those churches were living in sin. Five of those churches, five of the seven were living in deliberate sin. He says, do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. That's what God's calling these people. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house or nation. You must speak my words to them. Whether they listen or fail to listen, he keeps saying that. He keeps saying, whether they listen or fail to listen, you're my man of God, he's saying. Just go up there and tell them my words. It doesn't make any difference. If they want to be stubborn and not obey what you're telling them, and they're disobeying. They're not disobeying you, Ezekiel. They're disobeying me, God himself. Because you're my spokesman. Amen. And when God sets a man or woman behind the pulpit, all we are is just simply vessels. So if you don't want to listen to us, that's your choice. You have a choice. And if you don't want to listen to what we tell you, we're not going to get mad at you. He told us not to be afraid or worry about it. Amen. We're just simply his spokesman. And if they fail to listen, then the blood's on their own heads. Amen. He says that in Ezekiel 33. And he keeps reminding them that they may or may not listen. And he keeps telling them that they're stubborn or rebellious. They're like scorpions, thorns, briars, he calls them. He says, but you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. So whatever I tell you, just take it in within yourself and you just pour it up. You just let it come back out of your mouth to the people. That's what we're going to do. Amen? Amen. Now go to Ezekiel chapter 33. And in this chapter, it's very interesting because he keeps telling them, he tells them that he's made them a watchman. Let's just read verse 7. Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. So it's you're just my spokesman. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sins, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. So in other words, if Ezekiel didn't tell, if he distorted the truth, if he watered it down, if he changed it a little bit because he thought he was helping the people by being nice to them, he says, you're accountable for their blood at this point. He's going to hold the preacher accountable. Oh, the day of judgment. Let me tell you, people. These preachers that have made an alliance with the devil by thinking that they're building big churches by watering down the gospel, oh, woe to them on that day. Amen. I'm concerned about it. I am concerned for their souls. Jesus had such strong words when he talked about the hypocrites, the Pharisees and the religious leaders that withheld information from the people. Oh, is Jesus protective of his flock? He loves his flock. And when the shepherd does not feed the flock, he is very, 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 very strongly against that person. He says this, verse 9, but if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Go to the end of the chapter now. So we know that it's our job to just eat what God gives us and to feed the flock. Verse 30, Father, we thank you for your holy word. You're worthy, Jesus. As for you, son of man, your countrymen are talking about you by the walls and at the open doors of their houses, saying to each other, come, let's hear the message that has come from the Lord. Let's go to church. That's what they're saying. My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. So they're listening to what the preacher, Ezekiel's the man of God, he's speaking words to them. He said they're listening to your words, but they're not doing what you're telling them that they should be doing. Amen. They don't put them into practice. Now practice makes perfect, right? We should be practicing. Jesus said that we need to practice his words. The one who practices and teaches these things will be considered greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he said. With their mouths they express devotion, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. So they're saying, let's go to church, hallelujah, Jesus, we love Jesus. And he says, with their mouths they're expressing devotion, but their hearts are in another place. Their hearts are caught up in this world, and the reason that they were not acting on this word of God is because the world, the things of the world, were more important to them than God's words that the prophet was speaking to them. We don't want to be in that condition, amen? We want to avoid that condition because God was calling these people thorns and briars and scorpions. We don't want God to look down and say, look at these people as they sit in my church that I planted. He said, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Psalm 127:1. This is the Lord's house. Amen. So we don't want God to be looking down, just, you know, receiving all this worship from the angels and then take a glance down and look on our church and go, look at those thorns, briars, and scorpions. Look at them lift up their hands. With their mouths, they're expressing devotion, but look at their hearts. They're not doing what we're commanding them to do. We don't want that from God, amen? That's the last thing that we want as a church. My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you and listen to your words. So they were listening to the preacher, but they do not put them into practice. They weren't doing what they heard, what they said amen to, what they said, hallelujah, pastor. They weren't putting it into practice. With their mouths they express devotion, but their heart condition's not right. They're greedy. They're searching for unjust gain. They're caught up in the world is what he's trying to express to us. Indeed, to them, now listen to this verse here. And this is how God views things. He says, indeed to them you're nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words but do not put them into practice. So when we hear the words of God that are coming through the mouth of the preacher, and we say amen to the words, but when we leave church, we don't do what the Holy Spirit told us to do, God says, then we're just looking at God's word and we're looking at the words of the preacher as if it's just a beautiful love song and a fine sounding instrument. Because we don't put them into practice. That's how important it is to God. He writes a lot about this. If you ever read through the entire Bible, I mean, God talks about this constantly, about the people not doing what he said. Do you realize that, listen to this now, the entire fall of humanity and the salvation of humanity was based upon either doing or not doing what God said. Do you know that? Adam and Eve did not do what God said. I mean, Jesus did do what God said. So the entire fall of humanity and the redemption of all humanity was based upon either doing or not doing God's word. That's how important the word of God is. To do it. Amen? Amen. To do it. Not to hear it and deceive our own selves like he says in James 1:22. It's one thing to come to church and go, amen, brother. Jeremiah said it like this. He said, don't come in and say, this is the house of the Lord, the house of the Lord. In other words, praise God, glory to God. This is a great meeting we had tonight. I mean, God spoke to me tonight. And then we go out continually and we don't do what he said. Pastor Dan, you talk about this an awful lot. This is what God wants from us as a church. He wants us to go somewhere. Because we aren't going to go anywhere until we start to do everything he said. As Christians, often we have selective hearing. I can remember a time in my life where I had very selective hearing. The pastor would say something that I like to hear, and I'd say, amen, brother, and I think I'm going to do that. But in reality, and some of you are going to relate to this right away, a lot of times we're hearing what the pastor said and we think, I don't see how we can actually do that, though. I don't have time to do that. He doesn't understand. Does he realize how busy I am and how many kids I have? Does he know what I just went through today? How does he really expect us to do all of this? We get selective hearing, and we like to. What I mean by that is we will do what is convenient for us to do, what we're excited to do, but the things that don't strike a chord with our lives, the things that don't strike a chord with what we want to do, those things we set to the side for now. What God expects from us is absolute full obedience, and he wants us to be hasty in getting it done. He doesn't like it when we put things off. Amen? Yeah. Now, let's go on over to Jeremiah chapter 7. I'm going somewhere with this. We want to be doers of the word. Let me just start to read this to you. Verse 2, this is coming from the prophet Jeremiah. And I'll stand at the gate of the house of the Lord's house and go to church, he's telling them. And there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions. And I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words. Everyone say deceptive words.
Deceptive words.
We're going to come back to that. And say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. In other words, it's not enough just to come here. He's asking them to do something. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm or idols, cell phone could be an idol, then I will let you live in this place in the land I gave your forefathers forever and ever. But look, you're trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery, perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods you've not known? Then come and stand before me in this house, stand in church, which bears my name, and say, we're safe, we're okay. In other words, they're saying, we're okay. It's not, God knows my heart. We're okay. We are safe, safe to do all these detestable things. Now, that's not what they were literally speaking, but he's looking at their hearts. He's exposing the darkness within them. You know, in Ephesians, he said, let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. The wrath of God is on those who are disobedient. We need to be fully obedient to God. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Just telling you what the Bible says. If you want to believe it, I believe that you do. Amen. We're safe. So he says, you're going to, you know, Jesus said, murder, if you hate someone, you're a murderer, he said. That's what Jesus said. Hatred is murder. When you just hate that person, you are a murderer, you're not saved, you're going to hell, is what Jesus said. He said, if you're angry with your brother, you're in danger of the fire of hell. That was Jesus' words. When you want to kill someone and hate them and always got to speak evil, he said, do not slander one another. Anyone who slanders his brother or speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. He said, when you judge a law, you do not keep the law, but you're sitting in judgment on it. He said, there's only one lawgiver and judge, one who's able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? James chapter 4. So we're not even supposed to speak against our brother in a slanderous sense. We're not supposed to hate people and be angry at them even. We need to let it go and give it in God's hands and let Him handle it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This is the house of the Lord, the house of the Lord. He says, but you do all these detestable things. You hate everybody. You want to kill people. And then you come in my house and think, oh, I'm safe. I'm okay. God says it's not okay. He says you're in danger of the fire of hell. He says, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. 1 John 3:15. He says, do not be like Cain, who hated his brother and murdered him. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. So don't be surprised that the world hates you. We know we pass from death to life because we love our brothers. So if we don't love our brothers, we're still... He said anyone who does not love remains in death. So if we don't love everybody... Amen. You mean my enemies? Yeah, Jesus said love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute you that you may be sons, born again, sons of your Father in heaven. He caused His sun to rise on the evil and good and says, rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Matthew 5, 44 through 46. So in other words, God loves everybody. And think about it like this. He said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 5, 32. He said, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander along with every form of malice. Ephesians 5, 31. 4, 31 and 32. Excuse me. He said, do not let any unwholesome swearing, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29. He said, do not, Jesus said simply, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil in Matthew 5:37. James said it like this, and listen carefully because this is scary to me. James said, let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. James 5:12. Put the fear of God in you right away. Amen? We've got to be careful with our words. Jesus said this. He said, you brood of vipers, how can you or evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you're speaking reveals your heart condition. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, but the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. He said, but I tell you, the men are going to have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they've spoken. For by your words, you will be acquitted. And by your words, you'll be condemned. Matthew 12, 32-37. So now, we got to be careful with our words and what we're feeling about each other. He says, I'll bring it. God, you know, he says, I'm the one, he who searches hearts and minds. Amen. Jesus said to the churches. So he searches our hearts and minds. In fact, as the people were living in sin, he said, I'll strike their children dead, Jesus said. Then all the churches will know that I'm he who searches their hearts and minds. Now, Jesus isn't around trying to kill people, but what he's saying is, if they sow towards the flesh, they're going to reap destruction by their own sin. Amen. And they're going to realize that my word really means what it says. We got to obey God. Amen. We got other guys out there, they're preaching revival and revival, and right now they're standing up and they're thinking they're having a revival when it's of the devil. There is no revival outside of repentance. We need to get our hearts right and cause revival through prayer. Amen. Running around playing church does not do anything but strengthen the hands of evildoers. Having a party while the world's going to hell, that ain't even right. Forget about it. Not right. Now, so we see this. Listen to this. We're safe to do all these detestable things. Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord. See, he sees everything. We're not. Amen. Now, I wanted you to see something in verse 22 real quick. He's pacing me here. For For when I brought your forefathers out of Egypt and spoke to them, I did not just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices, but I gave them this command, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in all, everyone say all, the ways I command you, that it may go well with you. That's a promise. But they did not listen or pay attention. Now we know that they heard him, but they didn't listen with the intention to obey him. They heard what he said, but they didn't do it. They didn't have the intention to do it. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. They went backward, not forward. They backslid. From the time your forefathers left Egypt until now, day after day, again and again, I sent you my servants, the prophets, but they did not listen to me. Notice he says, I sent the prophets, but they didn't listen to me. God takes it personally. They didn't listen to me. They didn't listen to my spokesman. They didn't listen to me or pay attention. They were stiff-necked and did more evil than their fathers. Now, when you tell them all this, he tells a prophet now. He says, when you tell them all this, they will not even listen to you. They're going to think they're okay. They're going to say, I'm fine, whatever. When you call them, they will not answer. Therefore, say to them, this is the nation that has not obeyed the Lord, its God, or responded to correction. Truth has vanished. It has vanished from their lips. Truth has perished. It has vanished from their lips. Then he tells them to mourn for them. Chapter 8, verse 12. Are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No. They have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down where they are punished. When they are punished, says the Lord. You know, Isaiah 29:15, he says this. He says, woe to them who go to great lengths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and say and think, who sees us? Who will know? In other words, they honestly think that God doesn't see or know everything that's going on. He says, you know, he likens it. He says, you act as if the clay were like the potter. Like the clay can say to the potter, you didn't make me. In other words, you know nothing, he says, and the one NLT says, you're stupid. That's what it says. So when we try to just sneak around, you know, some Christians sneak around. You know what I'm saying? They sneak around doing stuff that they wouldn't even do in front of their grandma, let alone Jesus. And Jesus is the one that sees it. The grandma's not the one that does. They sneak around and they're doing their work in darkness and they think you know nothing. In other words, they think that God's stupid is what it says. That's how the NLT puts it. We don't want to think God's stupid. God knows and sees everything. He says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. The joints and marrow is the flesh. It shows you if you're operating out of the iron, steadclad place of the spirit, or out of your soul, which is your seat of your passion, will, and desires, or out of the flesh, which the Word shows us which one we're operating out of. Joints and marrow judges. God's Word judges. Don't judge me. It says right there. God's Word judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Got a bad attitude? God's Word can help us with that. Amen? It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. He says nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Amen. Then he says, therefore, since we have such a great high priest who's gone in heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the hope we profess. If we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, thank God for that, amen. We have one who's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, so we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So he's saying, look, Jesus knows you're weak. He knows your weaknesses. Come to the throne and ask for grace to help you. Don't ask for grace to cover your sin. He says, come under the throne boldly to receive grace and help Grace and strength to help in the time of need. There's grace to help. That he said something to me there. And I will do that. He's still talking to me. Now he told me to warn you. How do I do that, Lord? He says to prepare your hearts, my people. Let go of everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save your souls. Begin to pay attention carefully to what you've heard. For as you pay attention to keep my word before your eyes and keep my word going into your ears, you will begin to act. And when you act, you will be truly free, says the Lord. For I need you to be free, for I'm coming for a church that is free, says the Lord. So obey me by keeping my word before you, so you can act and obey my word. For I've given you the instructions for life. I've told you to make the choice. I've set before you this day life or death, blessings or cursings, and I've told you what you should choose. I told you to choose life. So let go of this world and separate, says the Lord. For this world taints that which should be pure. Have I not told you that you must be pure, says the Lord? So be pure. Would you drink tainted water? Would you eat poisoned food? Yet this is what people do when they do not separate from this world. They eat poisoned food. They eat seeds of the enemy that are not coming from my word. For my word is seed, and my word produces a harvest of righteousness. But the enemy's seed, which is wickedness, produces a harvest of darkness, deceit, and death, says the Lord. So be careful what you're eating. Be careful what you put in your hearts. For I've told you in my word to guard your hearts with all diligence, for out of your hearts flows the issues of life, says the Lord. So guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your hearts with every bit of your strength. Just press in with your whole hearts, and you will have nothing to fear. For it's your heart condition that I'm after. But you have to be willing to hear. So press in with the greatest of effort, and do not be lax or lazy or sleep. For all the strength that you need is found in my grace. The strength is found at my throne. It's in me. So press in, press in, press in, and let go. Press in to my spirit, and it's my word that you will know. For my word will reveal to you the paths of life. My words will set your family free from arguing and strife. My words will give you grace, so that you can rejoice and be glad. My words will cheer the sadness of your heart. My words will make you glad. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's what he said. We're going to see where we're going to go from here. Now, Jeremiah 6:10, he said this: to whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? He said their ears are closed, so they can't hear. He said the word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. That's why, now I'm going to pull a twist on you. A lot of reasons Christians don't read their Bible, and they don't even realize what's happening is God's word offends their spirit. They may say, well, I love God's word. But if you love God's word, you will give it first place in your life. We can say a lot of things, a lot of lip service. You know, Jesus said it like this. He said, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. He said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. He said, you let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. The commands of God is His Word. You let go of the Word. You're not delighting in the Word. He said, you have a fine way of setting aside God's commands in order to observe your own traditions. Mark 7, 6 through 9. So we want to hold on to the Word. He says in Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard so we don't drift away. Again, another scripture on backsliding. He said, if the message spoken by angels was binding and every violation received its just punishment, how should we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was also confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also testified to it by various signs, wonders, and miracles, and gifts of the Spirit distributed according to His will. You may say, well, Pastor Dan, we never see you work any miracles. We never see signs and wonders. Prophecy, He said, is the greatest gift that we should do. We prophesy all the time in front of you. Amen. Can't you recognize the Spirit of God? Of course you can. Words of knowledge. Michelle told me the other day, she said, there's not been one time in 3 years that you've ever missed a word of knowledge yet. Every single time. Every single time. We even had people, one religious person came in here and got so mad at me because I said, you stubborn, hard-hearted people. I said, there's somebody in here that has this wrong in you. Why won't you obey God? And sure enough, the person finally was convicted and they come up and got healed. And then after service, you say, what would you have done if you'd get we were wrong? I said, how do you think? I can hear God's voice. Amen? Amen. How could I be wrong? You can't miss God when you're close to Him. You miss God when you're not close to Him. You spend all your time in God's presence, you don't miss God. Amen? You shouldn't anyways. I suppose you can. Now, let me read you another thing. Jeremiah 6. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. Now, the people that didn't always stand up and say, we're not going to obey you, God. That's not what they did. But their hearts, they heard, but they weren't acting. So He's revealing a stubborn, rebellious heart condition that God detests. He wants us to have a heart that's towards obedience. Amen. That's the love of God. We want to talk about love, but He said this is the love of God to keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5, 3. Jesus said, if you love me, I love you, Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. John 14, 15. John 15, 14, He said, you are my friends if you do what I command. Amen. You know, in Revelation 14:12, He says, saints who keep God's commands and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So saints, if we're born again, only saints go to heaven. Did you know that? Amen. You think I'm not a saint? Oh yeah, only saints go to heaven. We're all saints if we're born again. Amen. He said, but saints keep God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. It's not enough to hold to the testimony, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We need to keep His commands. Revelation 14:12 again. Now, Revelation 12:17, He said, the dragon was enraged against the woman and went off to make war against her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So you got two scriptures in Revelation, and there's probably plenty more than that, that directly make reference to obedience to God's commands. But you got a lot of these guys out there preaching grace, 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 when God's word screams obedience, 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 obedience. Amen? They're looking, give me more grace. Jesus gave you so much grace when He died up on that cross. How much do you need? He gives you His Spirit. He gives you, not only does He give you a new nature, He gives you the Holy Spirit. It's a choice to obey God. I have seen and heard of crackheads. No joke, a crackhead. A crackhead. And he got born again, and he's out there on full 100% go, working miracles, signs, and wonders, and getting people saved. Amen. just overnight it happens. I've heard of cocktail waitresses getting born again from a backslider. And they go out, and these women, she went out and get all sorts of souls saved. Overnight, the change. Why does it happen to them and not to all of us? I can tell you why. It's a choice. It's a choice to throw the cigarettes, the alcohol, the dirty magazines, the swearing, the cussing. You got to make a bold choice to get rid of all of it right now. You can't hold on to the world and call yourself free. As long as you hold on to even 1% of this world, he's got you. The devil's got control over you. Romans 6 says, he says, you're either slaves to God, which leads to obedience, or slaves to sin, which leads to death. We're a slave. We are going to be a slave to one or another. We might as well be slaves to God.
Amen.
Amen? If I'm going to be a slave to anybody, I don't want to be a slave to the devil. Because when you become a slave of God, then you become free. Because he created you for his good purpose and his good pleasure. Amen?
Amen?
Now, Isaiah 30 verse 9. I suppose we could turn there because we got it. If you got your Bible with you. I'll quote it. He says, these are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, see no more visions, unto the prophets, give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things. So these people were deceived by not acting on the word of God, like he says in James 1:22. And they'd say, and what in their hearts, this is what they're saying. Don't correct us, is what they were saying. Don't tell us what's right. Tell us what we want to hear. And there's a scripture for that for the church. He says, the time will come when men will not put up with sound instruction, sound doctrine, and instead to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. 2 Timothy 4, 3-4. So they want to, what people want to hear, what they want to hear. And if the preacher doesn't say things that they agree with, and they don't like the correction, they don't want to change, what they do is they go say, you know what, I don't like this church anymore. Yeah. And they'll blame it on the carpet. They won't say that out of their mouth, but in their heart they'll say that. And because Satan's got a hold of them, they'll say, you know what, so-and-so looked at me funny at church today. I ain't going back to that church. You know what, the pastor didn't smile at me today. And the carpet is dingy. And he didn't give my kid a piece of candy either. So I'm going down to the community church down the street where that church has got a Starbucks in it, and there's 1,000 people in that church, and it's stung up every night, and it's popular, and they got modern music, and they even play secular songs in it, and I like some of them secular songs they play. I'm going over there. And you know what happens? They backslide.
Amen.
That's not God's church.
Amen.
God's church doesn't have anything to do with the world.
Amen.
God's church wouldn't even put Starbucks in it with the big witch with the star on her head. That's a witch. God's church has enough spiritual discernment to recognize a witch when they see a witch.
Amen.
Call darkness, darkness. Quit calling it light.
Amen.
It's of the devil. You know what witches do? They don't ride around on brooms. They won't run aborting babies when they're young so they can gain more power over people. They're sick. They're twisted. Hollywood does that too. All sorts of them are involved in that filth. Abominations in the eyes of the Lord. Jeremiah 23:14, he says they strengthen the hands of evildoers so not one of them turns from their wickedness. That's these, when they don't tell you the truth, they strengthen your hands. And they say, oh, God loves you. God loves you. But you're sitting out there, you're living in strife in your house. You're fighting, you're quarreling, you're living like the world. And they say, God loves you, God loves you. You think they did you a favor? No, they didn't do nobody a favor. Of course they didn't do anybody a favor. They strengthen your hands in your sin. We don't want that. Jeremiah 23:36, he says, each one's word becomes their own message. So you distort the words of the living God. And that's what they do. He said, woe to the prophets who steal words from one another, supposedly from me. They all run around preaching each other's message. You're not preaching the word of the Lord. God's word will convict us and change us. Amen. It shows us. He says its word is like a mirror. Do you still love me? I love you. Now, everybody say, Pastor Dan, I love you. Make me feel loved again. I say, there's a holy hush in this place right now. If I put any fear in you, I hope it's just the fear of the Lord. Amen. Now, this is the whole point I want to get you out of this. The reason that people don't act on the Word is because they don't have enough of the Word in them to act on it. And the reason they don't put the Word in them, they don't do it, is because they don't love the Word. Ask yourself if you love the Word. And if the answer is yes, then your greatest desire from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed should be to read their Bible. And if the greatest desire in you from the moment you wake up all the way throughout the entire day when you're at work, all you can think about is you just want to get back to your Bible to read it. If that's not your greatest desire, then you don't love the Word. You deceived yourself. You say, Pastor Dan, I be honest with myself, but what you just said there, I don't really love the Bible. I don't even like to read, Pastor Dan. Well, a love for the Word stems from a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. First of all, we need to get born again. Jesus loves you. We need to turn from our sins and give our whole heart over to Him. And if you love someone, you know, I use this often, but I can liken to this, and some of you can too, but you know, remember your first, let's say after you got your license, let's remember your first boyfriend or girlfriend you had. You just got your license, you got your first boyfriend and girlfriend, they live on the other, let's say they live 30 miles away. I mean, you play hooky from school, you will get out of work early and you'll get to work late. You will do anything that you can do to get in your boyfriend or girlfriend's presence. You just want to be with them because you're so in love with Mr. Right. Really, he's probably Mr. Wrong. But because all these emotions, nothing's going to stop me from getting in that person's presence because you're in love with them, right? It's the same thing with God. If you really love God as much as we say we do, then God is the one. We just love to be with Him. I mean, just let me at Him. I just got to be in the presence of the one I love. I've got to get away to be alone with Him. Amen? And that type of a hunger for a loving relationship with God comes, it stems from praying in other tongues. The more you pray in tongues, the more hunger you will have for God's Word. And it's not enough to do it 5 minutes a day. You've got to do it all day long. Quietly under your breath. So He can have that transformation process in your soul. Amen? And I also tell you this, that the more you read of God's Word, if you can break past the barrier and fight your flesh. Your flesh doesn't, who would like to say that I'm all flesh over here? Does anybody want to say that with me? All flesh over here. I'm just a big ball of flesh. You don't want that, right? You don't want to say I'm a big ball of flesh? But that's what, it's your flesh that's fighting you from reading the Bible. So if we can fight the flesh and say, flesh, I am not a flesh. I am a spirit and I live in this flesh and you will obey me, flesh. I'm going to read my Bible. And your emotions will fight you and the devil's going to try to fight you. But if you can break past that hard point and get past that, whatever it is in you that doesn't want to do it, you will find out that it gets easier and easier to read your Bible. And you'll actually find out that over a period of time, if you keep pushing yourself to full potential to read the Bible, that it's going to get easier and easier. In fact, you're going to say, you know what? This isn't so bad. I actually enjoy this. And you know what? Eventually what's going to happen if you keep pushing, it's going to get past the point of enjoyment to the point where you long to do it and you love it. And it's everything to you. I love the Word of God. Because you're going to find out that His peace is going to come, His presence is going to come, His joy is going to come, and all that stress that you had throughout the day from your kids, from your parents, from your friends, from all the people that were mean to you today, every time you read your Bible 2-3 chapters, you're going to find that all that stress is gone and there's just peace there. Why? Because Jesus is the Word of God and Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Amen?
Amen.
God loves you and He wants to spend time with you. And the best way to find time with God, spend time with God, is to read His Word. He said everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth. He calls anger filth. And the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the Word planted in you, which can save your souls. He says, anyone who hears the Word but does not do what it says, like a man that looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. In other words, you saw the bedhead, you didn't do nothing about it. He said, but the man or woman who looks intently, that means with the intention to do what it says, who looks intently into the perfect law, God's Word that gives freedom, and continues therein. In other words, you live in the book. Who continues therein, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. He said, if anyone considers himself religious, yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, that's what you're saying. He said he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. So he says, if we don't do the Word, we deceive our own selves. And he says, if we don't keep a tight rein on our tongues, we deceive ourselves and our religion is worthless. Why is that? Because the acting upon the Word of God would be to control your tongue, right? But how, Pastor Dan, I say all sorts of stupid things I shouldn't say. I mean, by the end of the day, if I were to write down a list, I don't even have a scroll of papyrus long enough to write down all the dumb things I said today. That may be so, but God gave you His Word to pour into your heart. So instead of speaking things that you shouldn't say out of your mouth, things that are in line with the love of God, the love of God's Word will start pouring out of your mouth. Amen?
Amen.
So He's telling you to be a doer of the Word. You need to keep the Word in front of you. He's telling you to control your tongue and have a true form of religion. You need to keep the Word pouring in you. That's why I keep telling you, go to Walmart. Has anybody done this yet? Someday we're going to listen. We're going to listen to what the Holy Spirit keeps telling you, the answer to success. He's telling you the answer to all your problems. It's to keep the Word playing in your house 24 hours a day. Your kids act like the devil. You start playing the Word in your house 24 hours a day, the devil's going to get angry and he's going to leave your house. He's not going to like that atmosphere. The Word of God burns him. He trembles at the Word of God because it reminds him of his destruction that's soon to come. Keep the Word playing in your house 24 hours a day. I always ask Michelle, keep the Word playing. What are we going to do before we leave the house, Michelle? We're going to keep the Word playing. She come and meet me somewhere. I said, did you play the Word of the house? I ask her all the time because I know that the devil's going to try to creep up in my house if the Word ain't playing. I don't want his creepy creepiness creeping up in my house. Amen? We don't want no big lurch, dark, creepy thing creeping up in my house. And that's what they look like. Michelle's seen one of them. She's seen a religious spirit. God opened up her eyes. She's seen the thing. She said it looked like a ugly little thing. And then when we sin, those things are operating through you. Amen? We don't want that. That's gross. That's just gross, right? He said we should hate even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know, think of it like this, and this is going to be real strong, and I hope you don't get mad at me, but every time we sin, it's like taking a bunch of dog feces and rubbing it on your shirt. That's how God sees it. Filth, he calls it moral filth. Now, how would you do that? Would you drink water if I told you it's 99.9% reverse osmosis purified water, but it's 0.1% sewage? Would you drink it? You can't see it. It still looks clear. Come on. Take a sip. Any takers? God, that's why God wants absolute purity, because he's looking for a pure heart. So the way we're going to stay and keep the dog filth off of us and the moral filth off our garments so it doesn't get spotted is by keeping the word playing. So the word keeps going into our ears. So it keeps going through our minds and into our hearts because it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. Right? Matthew 12, 32 through 37 again. So now, we want to be doers of the word, right? And we don't want to hate people. We love people, right? We love our enemies. We love everybody. Why don't you look? You know, Jesus said to take the plank out of your own eye before you try to take the speck out of your brother's. Who are you to judge your neighbor, he says. He said, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. He says, but you, who are you to judge your neighbor, James said. Who do you think? Who do you think? They're on drugs or they don't act right. But you don't act right by judging them. It ain't right to judge people when you ain't even got yourself straight. We want to love people, right? You say, Pastor Dan, you're up here judging me all the time. No, I'm just telling you what God says. And to be honest with you, you can follow me around. We act on these principles. We do this stuff. We sacrifice our whole lives to serve Jesus. In fact, I did that before I even quit working a secular job. We should all do that, whether we're called to preach or not. Amen? We've got to love God. We've got to love people enough to... Here he is again. Come on up here. Let's pray for you. We worship you, Jesus. Come up with an attitude of worship. Come up expecting Jesus to lay hands on you and work a miracle in you. We need to get you a new shirt. Father, in the name of Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Just come up expecting to receive whatever it is you need. Any healing, any miracles. Just come up with it. I know we're getting ready to leave, but just come up with a reverent attitude towards God. This is God's house. God is in here. God wants to work in you. He wants to change you. He wants to refresh you and set you free. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship and praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Come line up on the wall. Everybody line up over on the wall. Please, if you're talking to anybody right now, let's talk to God. Amen? We want to participate in the movement of the Holy Spirit that God's trying to do here. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Everybody say this. Say, God, I want to act on your word. Please help me, Lord.
Please help me, Lord.
To read your word.
To read your word.
As much as possible.
As much as possible.
So I can do what it says.
So I can do what it says.
Forgive me, Lord. For any laziness or putting things off that I know I should do. Help me to get it done, Lord. Help me to put your kingdom first. Father, you're a merciful God. And I love you, Lord. I humble myself under your mighty hand. Because you love me, I'm able to love. I love people.
I love
everyone.
I love my
enemies.
I love Jesus.
I love God's Word.
I love the Holy Spirit.
I love my Father in heaven.
I love everyone
except for the devil.
I love
people. In Jesus' name.